Welcome to Indie Insider, presented by Black Shell Media. This is the show that posts every Monday, where we speak with indie video game developers, publishers, and industry professionals about their projects, their stories, and their advice to others. I'm your host, Logan Schultz, and today on the show, I sit down with Jan Hardesty of Monkey Byte Development. Jan has had a hand in the industry for decades and founded Monkey Byte to help support developers and bring new indie games to life. He tells me about their new early access project on Steam, Doodle What, and how the game's unique esports approach offers potential for Twitch streamers and the like. Before we get to the interview, however, a couple of quick notes. This show is presented by Black Shell Media, a publishing and marketing firm working to help indie developers reach their goals and new audiences. The company also strives to offer unique, inspiring, and even educational services for developers, publishers, and gamers alike, which is why we get to bring the show to you. Speaking of which, be sure to subscribe to our show on iTunes and other podcast services across the internet. And please leave a review. If you'd like to be a part of the show and share your thoughts, questions, or even request a professional to bring on the podcast, send me an email at logan@blackshellmedia.com or reach out on Twitter at Logan A. Schultz. Finally, special thanks to Jan Hardesty for joining us on the show, as well as Benjamin Tiso over at bensound.com for allowing us to use his song Going Higher in the show. And now, Jan Hardesty. With me today is Jan Hardesty. Jan, how's it going?
It goes well. Really nice to talk with you, Logan.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to you as well. Jan, you are a partner at Monkey Byte Development, is that correct?
That is correct. That's correct, yeah.
Well, go ahead. Tell me a little bit about yourself and about Monkey Byte.
Sure. Monkey Byte started in 1994. We actually came together as a small group, independent developer, working with virtual reality software to start with. And around that time, AAA level games kind of broke into the world with Doom and the first iterations of that, and virtual reality transitioned into AAA level gaming.
Sure.
And so our group came over from virtual reality programming and got into games and have been doing that ever since. We've released well over 100 titles and different levels of the industry, everything from AAA down to casual indie games. And Doodle What is one of our newest releases, and playing in an area and a field we're really excited about, this social video streaming world that you see with Twitch and YouTube Gaming League and companies that are out there like Beam Pro. The gaming industry is really, really always evolving and always growing, and Monkey Byte's been really blessed to be able to do that for a couple of decades now.
Yeah, it's amazing. You guys have been around for so long. That's fantastic. Have you been a part of it since the early stages?
I have two. We had three major partners. One transitioned out a short while ago. Two original partners that we kicked off from, John Ames and Nicholas Murphy and myself, we've been in Monkey Byte from the get-go. And had a couple of little companies that have spun off since then, but Monkey Byte really is our hearts and our souls, and it's been a good team.
Okay, so I imagine, you know, over the decades that you guys have been active, you mentioned this a little bit, you guys have probably transitioned from the different types of projects that you've worked on. What do you find you're doing the most now?
Doing the most now is really casual games, indie casual games. Now, about 12 or 13 years ago, we also started doing gamification services. So we took a lot of what we'd learned in the game industry, in the indie game industry, and started applying it to corporate partners and clientele and marketing services around those. And so that's been a big part of our business ever since then as well. But one of the reasons that we kind of edged ourselves out of the game industry was because it was becoming the AAA level and the E3s and the CGDCs. These expositions were so large. When we started, they were really, really small D&D, you know, conventions and
sure,
small communities. And just it had a real nice feel and touch to it. And the industry kind of outgrew that. It's a $25 billion industry in the United States today.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, there's that many people in it too. It's just a huge industry. So there was this kind of lack of personal touch and feel that I know a lot of us indie developers really enjoy. Now getting into the social video streaming area and following Twitch and following YouTube Gaming League and some of these other, the streaming esports, really gets us back into the feeling that I remember in the early 90s, where you're in touch with the people who are playing your games. It's such a visceral thing to watch someone play your game. And that's really brought us back full bore into this industry and been a wonderful kind of full circle experience for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've touched on it a couple of times, and I promise we'll get to Doodle What in a second.
Sure,
I'm dying to talk about it. But just because you have had such a hand in the industry for so long, I'm dying to know, what are a couple of your favorite projects that you've worked on and why?
Ooh, that's a good, you know.
I know, I'm putting you on the spot.
I apologize. No, so we did one game. It actually never came to market. It was called Grid Shock. We did it for MGM Interactive back in the day. I think it was 94, 95. And that was a really fun game because it was just working with a really large project. After we kind of split from MGM Interactive, we came out with a small version of a game called Galactic Patrol. And it's fresh in my mind because we literally got a fan email from it. We released it in 95, 96. And we got a fan email about it last week, where someone was just going on and on about how this was an epic game for their growing up years, and they still played it with their family and now with their kids. It's a kind of a 3D Galaga / arcade style game, a throwback to some of the real classic games that my partners and I grew up with playing at 7-Eleven, coin machines.
Sure.
I think that's probably over the many years my favorite game, because it does have that, it's based on real simple, straightforward gameplay mechanics, but it took this 3D technology in the 90s that was so cutting edge and applied it to it. And then 20 years later, or 15 years later now, it's, we're getting fan mail from it still. And that just, to me, that's just the coolest thing that you as an indie game developer, you can touch someone and kind of progress with them through these evolutions of playing games with them first, and then with their families, and then with their children. And that's pretty cool for a developer to come in and know. So Galactic Patrol, I think, would be my favorite project ever.
Well, that is awesome. That's high praise. Everyone listening, make sure you go Google that one. We got to find out.
Yeah,
But let's talk about your other favorite game, Doodle What. All right, let's get to it. So this is the new game developed by Poor Ugly Dwarf, now on Steam. I believe it's still in early access. But you mentioned the Twitch integration. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what Doodle What actually is?
So Doodle What is a game that works over social streaming. It's in, some people call it an esports area. About a year and so ago, we were really got introduced into Twitch and streaming media and how that was coming about as that area segment of the market was really blowing up.
Mm-hmm.
And being a little, always being technologists and indies, we kind of looked at the technology and thought, well, okay, how can we do something a little edgy, a little bit on the bleeding edge with this? And crowd play gaming is what we really got interested in. This was brought together by an idea where Pokemon came into was it Pokemon? I can't remember the first people to do crowd play or Twitch play gaming.
Where everyone inputs their, they input what button they want to push, and it, you try and get through the entire game of Pokemon. That's right.
Right. Yeah. So that's right. It's Twitch Plays Pokemon. Excuse me.
That's it. You got it.
and just the concept of not only sitting there and watching a stream and just having it kind of single directionary media coming towards you, this concept of being able to interact with the media or interact with your TV or your video stream was really intriguing to us. And so we followed that full bore And that's where Doodle What is one of the newest iterations of that, where you can launch a streamer or a gamer can launch this this drawing game on their machine, and then people can come in, watch what they're drawing, and take guesses at what they're drawing, and trying to win in a scoring way, in a scoring system through chat. So it's a two-way kind of gameplay. And it's just a technology of crowd play that's really exciting for us. There's two different kinds of approaches to this kind of play, where gamers come in and watch somebody play, but then also interact or control the game through chat. One is really a part of Twitch, and where they call it the Twitch Play. And that's really a game that's running itself, and you jump in and control that game, like Pokemon plays Twitch, or Twitch plays,
sure,
Pokemon.
Yeah.
But there's not really a person running that game or on that game interacting with their community. What we wanted to do was create something where you or I or the listeners could actually be playing the game themselves, call in six or seven of their friends, and interact with them right then and there. So there's no bots, it's really a community experience. And that's where we coined that as crowd play, as opposed to Twitch play. But again, it gets back to the whole creation of community and getting back in contact with the people who are playing your games, as well as the people who are watching them play the games. So it's Doodle What is a kind of a Pictionary style game, which really builds upon this crowd play mechanic of viewers being able to interact with the gamer.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got a Pictionary-style game over streaming where you can connect with your audiences. It seems like there have been some other games that have kind of touched on this. Like Drawful from the Jaxbox guys comes to mind, obviously, for similar reasons. But that had a limited player base, and then audience members would vote for their funniest, things or whatever. This seems like the next evolution in that, or the next step in that. Is that kind of what you're going for here?
Absolutely. And it's a little bit more spread out. It has a broader audience. You can pick up Doodle What and you can run it on your own, and you don't have to log into a service or go to a singular place on the net or the web to be able to hit it and use it. It's really something that's yours. You can either play to a very broad audience, anyone that wants to come in, or you can play it with your friends. We've had a couple of people who have picked it up and let us know that they literally play it like they would play Pictionary over a group of friends over, and they play it all on their computers. It's made to be very flexible and maneuverable for whomever wants to play the game.
Sure, absolutely. So how did you guys get connected with Poor Ugly Dwarf, and how did this project kind of come to fruition?
Well, we have three partners in the company and a couple of teammates as well, but it's a very small company. For each one of the partners, we have our little passion projects. John Ames is our CTO and also a hardcore gamer, and has always been our gaming soul of the company. And in order to support him and his passion, we spun off and created a team we called the Poor Ugly Dwarf team. And that company has grown up a little bit, and now it does its own casual publishing of smaller titles and the development of titles like Doodle What. So it's a subset of our Monkey Bite.
Yeah, this is great. So I imagine you've played the game a bit yourself, correct?
Oh yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah. Lots of testing.
But sure.
But I more often than not, especially recently, it's just looking and scouring the streams out there to find live streams out there to find who's playing it, because I just love jumping in and seeing how others are playing the games. And so a lot of times our teammates are out there jumping into other people's streams and getting feedback and letting them know who we are, so that we can iterate on the game for them. And we've gotten some wonderful feedback from people on how they'd like to see the game evolve and grow over time.
Well, speaking of evolving, the game is currently in early access on Steam, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what is this going to look like a couple months down the road as you build towards a final release?
So stability is obviously a big problem, but always an issue of to look forward to in something like CrowdPlay or this chat capability.
Sure.
Services like YouTube Gaming League and Twitch are growing rapidly, and they're changing their information. So we're always learning and trying to find out new ways to implement with their API. So the underscoring kind of anything we do is the technology and how we make it easier for people to expand and use the game itself. One thing that we're very interested in doing is not just connecting through Twitch, but also connecting through YouTube Gaming League and maybe some of the other services out there like Beam Pro, so we would expand where people can play with their friends. When it comes to gameplay, the biggest feedback that we've gotten is categories of words and the ability to add and manipulate the words and the art that's being worked with. So we're working on, actually in the newest version, we worked on adding a lot of categories, a lot of new word collections, and the ability for people to add more words and add more imagery as they see fit. And we're watching that closely to kind of learn how the community molts and evolves with the game. CrowdPlay and Twitch Play and even esports is so brand new today that, again, it's like getting back to our early days of gaming, where we're not quite sure where the medium is going, but we're just really excited and have a lot of energy around listening to the community and letting the tech follow the community.
So it seems pretty obvious, but I'll ask anyway, who is Doodle What for?
It's for a casual audience. We've actually found that, if you were to break it down into an age range, it's an esport audience. But when we stepped into esports and into social video streaming, we perceived social video streaming to be a youth, a millennial kind of tool and targeted technology or community. And we've really seen it grow quite a bit in the short bit of time. And it's kind of surprised us how the age range now goes from 18 all the way up into the 40s. And there's actually a wonderful leaning towards female gamers as well that we really didn't see when we were working in the AAA level industry. And I think they were always there. We just didn't see them. And literally in social video streaming or esports, you literally see the people who are playing the games. And so we're seeing that it's a very broad audience. And for us in the gaming industry or the indie industry, whenever we think about broad audiences or age ranges, we think about casual gameplay. And that's kind of how we label products that are targeted towards that broader audience. So it's definitely a casual group. It actually leans a little bit more female, and it has a little bit of an older segment group from, I'd say, the 20s up into the 40s.
And so you're pretty happy with how Doodle What is turning out so far?
Yeah. I mean, for us, our key goal is to keep the technology stable and flexible so that we can grow with the community. And as we learn more from the community, the product grows. And so even the Doodle What that's on early access with Steam right now is an iteration, three or four iterations in to where we started with it. And so the fact that the community is really picking it up and running with it and streaming it, I know there's like three or four streams running on it right now as we speak. That kind of growth and feedback is manna from heaven when it comes to being an indie developer.
Sure, yeah. For sure. Well, if other game developers, indie game developers out there are looking at this type of project with the Twitch integration and CrowdPlay, don't give away all your secrets, of course, but what sort of advice would you offer to them? What sort of things should they be looking at?
You know, it depends on technical levels and skills. I think the main thing that I'd say to two main things I'd say to a new or somebody coming into game development or indie game development is, number one, do it. Is don't worry about the what you would consider the restrictions of partnership or platform or technology. You can find a lot of those things out there. if you have a game idea and as a design, or you just think it's a good put together, start drawing it on a piece of paper. Start plotting it out on in Photoshop. Start putting it into a UI. Or if you're at a level of coding, or you have a friend who's at the level of coding, bring them in. Start doing it. The biggest thing that we see, and I have seen for 25 years in the industry, is somebody comes up to us and says, "Well, I have a great idea, but I have no idea how to do it." And that's cool. But if you come to somebody and you say, "Well, I have drawings, or I've drawn out a flow plan, or I have a coder that will do a prototype for this," you're going to be able to immediately step into indie game developing and have a good time interacting with the community. And that's kind of the second thing, is when you are an indie game developer, you want to get into being an indie game developer, really work with your community closely. Reach out to them, set up Twitter feeds, set up feedback loops, give them your email. If you're open to it, give them your cell phone number. Let them call you and talk to you about what you're building, because your gamers, your community, really do help make your games better. And that's always been the case. But I think that a lot of technologists and a lot of designers step back and insulate themselves or feel afraid to interact. But there's nothing more exciting than having a community support your game.
I think that's great advice. I feel a little inspired, to be honest. It's good. Any final words on Doodle What? As people walk away from this podcast, what do you want them to know?
Well, I want them to know that it's a fun, casual game to play. Certainly something you can sit down with all the family and play. And also something that's in growth. And that we as Porgly Dwarf, as Monkey Bite, as the Doodle What team, would love to hear from them, would love to work with them on the growth of the community and of the game itself. And, you know, Doodle What currently is one of just a couple of these crowd play and Twitch play style games out there. So it's a very small community right now. So as a gamer, you really can jump in, stream these crowd play and Twitch play games and make yourself known, create a stream, create a channel for yourself. And if you reach out to companies like mine or teams like mine that are making these games, we can help you do that. We can help you promote your channels and your community as well as ours. And again, that's kind of this wonderful synergy where if you're getting into this area now and playing these games now, it's a small, tight, friendly community. And that's a pretty energizing community to be a part of.
So you mentioned it, Jan, Monkey Bite Development. How do people reach out to you?
Sure. Well, you can reach us at monkeybite.com. That's BYTE.com. Porglydwarf.com. And, of course, through the Doodle What Steam channels and pages, we actually post our emails there. And you'll see as you come through our websites, we have our direct phone numbers, direct emails. We're not shy about talking to our community at all. We don't.
Sure.
We're not trying to. I know some companies try not to talk to their community. That's not us. You know, tweet us. We have Binks TV, also Monkey Bite on Twitter, and Porgly Dwarf on Twitter, and we do a lot of direct messaging. And I just yesterday got a notification that one of our the Doodle What, somebody wanted a little tweak on Doodle What, and by this morning we had a new EXE up for people to play with. So we listen pretty heartily and pretty openly to our communication channels in our community.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've mentioned it a couple times, but that open communication with your community, you found that to be pretty beneficial, I would imagine.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's personally, one of my passions is, you know, saying each partner has their own passion in the company. For me, community building and being in touch with community building is really a passion for me. And so we look for ways that we can work with our game players to help promote them, because it immediately comes back to us through promotion's sake, but also through just hearing the stories of how they're progressing with their games, with their lives, with their families. That kind of stuff really feeds our souls as we're making these games. And I think that's one of the beauties of being an indie as opposed to being in the industry. I spent a year and a half in the industry, and it was a very different feel than being an indie developer out here, where hearing directly from your community, directly from your gamers, can turn a day. Having a bad day, you hear about something like Galactic Patrol. That email actually came into one of our partners and immediately got forwarded to the whole company. and I guarantee you, it put a smile in every single one of our team members. And productivity is driven by that. And so, it's a wonderful place to be.
That's fantastic. There are so many great benefits about being an indie developer in such an exciting and thriving industry. So it's cool to hear kind of your experiences with that. So thank you so much for sharing. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
So those of you listening, if you want to check out Doodle What, you can head over to Steam Early Access. I believe it's $9.99. So pretty affordable. And again, it's a very accessible game, good for a large variety of people. And of course, streaming is a great way to connect with your audiences as well. This has been the Indie Insider Podcast, presented by Black Shell Media, a publishing and marketing firm dedicated to helping independent video game developers reach massive audiences, as is Monkey Byte Development. So, Jan, thank you so much for talking to me. I really appreciate it.
Great talking to you, too. Thanks for taking the time.
Absolutely. And if you want to reach out to us at Black Shell Media or the Indie Insider Podcast, you can email me, Logan@blackshellmedia.com, or hit me up on Twitter @LoganAShultz. Jan, thank you again.
Have a great day.
Hey, you too.